Well, blessed be the Lord this morning. We want to give greetings to each one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. It's a blessing to be called to the wedding, isn't it? We are all here this morning because we've been called to the wedding. Well, I sure do hope that you'll all be called to the next wedding also. That's not my message this morning, but I do trust that you'll all be called to the next wedding. Because there's going to be a wedding. Someday, there's going to be a wedding. When the bride of Christ, that beautiful, spotless, lovely, prepared bride, is joined to her husband. I trust that you'll be at that wedding. But it is a blessing to be called to the wedding today. We get to remember, many of us here, like our brother said, this room is divided into two types of people. But many of us in this room, we've already been to the marriage altar, and we get to remember. That's a blessing. We get to strengthen our own commitments again today. I just appreciate the things that have been said already and the strength by which they were said and with all the experience that was behind those words. I just appreciate it. We also get to stand behind a couple today who are entering into holy matrimony. We get to stand behind them, support them, encourage them, witness what they have to say. I appreciated Brother George's words. And if I may say it, the grandfatherly way that he told them that he's going to listen to every word of your vows. I appreciate that. Because that's what all of us are here for. We're here to listen to the vows of this couple and to witness the marriage union. That's what we're here for. It's a blessing to be called to the wedding. Well, Neil and Christina, we're very happy for you both. You've prayed much. You've counseled. You've planned. You've prepared. You've done a lot of dreaming. And now you're here. And you are here. May God bless you. May God take this day and just make it very special to you. That is our prayer. And I'm sure that's the prayer of everybody that's in this room. God will take this day and make it very special to you. The whole day, not just the service, not just the vows, but the whole day, that He'll just make it very special to you. Well, I'd like to turn to Ephesians chapter 5 again. As I was sitting here listening to Brother George read Ephesians chapter 5, I thought, now, shall I read that again? And I feel like the Lord said, yeah, you just read it again. I don't know if I can read it like He did, but I'll read it again. Ephesians chapter 5, and I'd like to start in verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of His body and of His flesh and of His bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, for I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Well, this morning, Brother Neil and Sister Christina, I'd like to speak to you about building a foundation for your marriage. And I'd like to use an Old Testament analogy, if I could, this morning. You know, in the Old Testament days, when they laid a foundation, they didn't pour concrete like we do today. They laid a foundation with stones. That's how the foundations were laid. The foundation of the temple was laid. They didn't pour concrete. They laid the foundation of the temple with stones. Big, solid, heavy stones. I mean, then they built buildings in Old Testament days, buildings that they wanted to last for a while. That's the kind of foundation they laid underneath them. And you could drop in there 400 years later and that building would still be there because they laid a foundation with big, solid, heavy stones. I think of the scripture in Ephesians this morning where it says about the church that the church is made up of lively stones. That's what it says in the book of Peter. But in Ephesians, it talks about the foundation of this church. And the foundation is made up of the apostles with the chief cornerstone being Jesus Christ. And I'd like for us just to consider that this morning. We're going to lay a foundation this morning. We're going to speak about a foundation that has a chief cornerstone. Jesus is not the chief cornerstone of the building. He's the chief cornerstone of the foundation. And the apostles are not stones of the building. They are stones of the foundation. And we are the building. So we like to look at that kind of a foundation this morning. The church of Jesus Christ is lively stones, set on a foundation of very lively stones called the apostles. And they're hooked on to the cornerstone of the foundation, which is the stone that makes all the other stones alive. So we like to follow this Old Testament analogy this morning. And I just have to say this, Brother Neil and Sister Christina, I just have one thing that I'd like to accomplish with this message this morning. And I appreciate everybody being here, and I trust that you can also gain some wisdom and insight from the message, but I just have to be real honest this morning. I just have one main goal and purpose in mind with the message that I want to give, and that is this, that I can thoroughly convince you too that through the activities of this day and the next couple of weeks, and the next year of your life, you will lay a foundation for your marriage like very few take the time to lay. That's what I'd like to do this morning. I would like to convince you, just you two, that in this day and in the next couple of weeks of your life and the next year of your life, that you will take the time to lay a foundation for your marriage like very few ever take the time to lay. I mean, if you have to eat beans and cornbread, you lay this foundation. If you have to live in a shack, you lay this foundation. If you have to let your little business struggle along for the first year, Brother Neil, let it struggle. You lay this foundation. You lay a foundation that will hold a marriage for 30 or 40 or 50 years if the Lord tarries and you live that long. That's what I'd like to convince you to do this morning. And I know that I can't do that. God must do that. But I know that I have two hearts that are very willing to be convinced this morning. I know that. Strong foundations hold big buildings. Strong foundations hold godly children. Strong foundations hold a happy life together. Strong foundations hold a beautiful testimony to a world around that's falling apart in this area of marriage. And strong foundations hold a ministry of blessings together. And strong foundations hold marriages that stand the troubles of a world around you. Strong foundations will do that. But you need to lay a strong foundation. You need to do it. It's not enough this morning to get up here and make a few commitments and say a few vows. It's not enough to do that. It's not enough just to have these people gathered here today and have them bless you and support you and give you all these encouraging words. It won't be enough. You must lay a foundation. And today is only the beginning of the laying of that foundation. God wants to bless your marriage. He wants to bless your marriage. He is no respecter of persons. I want you to know that. I want you to let that sink deep down inside of your heart. God is no respecter of persons. And He, this morning, He sits in heaven and He longs to bless your marriage. But God doesn't just pour the blessings out. God blesses marriages as we exercise the principles that God has taught us in this book. You want a blessing on your marriage? Well, you'll get some blessing on your marriage here today, but if you want God's blessing on your marriage, you're going to have to chart a course that many have not charted. And you will chart that course today, in the next 2 weeks, and for the next year of your life together is where you will chart most of that course. Praise God. Every one of us in this room, we can put it back on course. But for you two, you will chart the course in the next year of your life. You will. So we want to give you a little blueprint. Brother Neil, Sister Christina, some building plans on how to build a foundation for your marriage. First stage of construction is to lay the cornerstone. And that's what we're doing today. Today is the cornerstone day. You're going to lay the cornerstone of your marriage. And we know what a cornerstone is. You lay the foundation of a building with stones. That cornerstone is very important. And that's why all of these people are here today, because the cornerstone is very important. That cornerstone is the stone that you will look to, and you will line all the other stones up with the cornerstone that is laid today. It's very important. That's why we're all here. That's why many prayers have been prayed for you. That's why much preparation has went into this. That's why everybody is earnestly here watching, and they'll be listening. And that's why they'll have many good things and many blessings to say to you, because the cornerstone is very important. All the dreams and plans of many, many months, they culminate right here today. They come together. It's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. The love that you have in your hearts for each other, it will be released today in a way that it has not been. The commitments and the vows that you thought much about, you're going to make them today. The support and the blessing of all these friends and relatives, they're here with you today. The power of God's blessing begins to pour out in your life in a totally different way, and it starts today. The tender care and the carefulness that you have for each other, you realize it in a powerful way today. And the willingness that you have to honor and bless each other, all of that comes together into this day. What a beautiful, powerful, life-changing cornerstone you're going to lay today. That you want to use all of these things as the cornerstone for your marriage. And that's why I say that we pray for you that God will make this day not just the vows you said, but that, but every part of this day very special to you, that it will sink deep down into your heart, down into the memory of your life, and it will be something that you will look to, you will remember it, and I want you to look to it as a cornerstone so that you can continue to look at it, because every other stone gets lined up on the one that is laid today. Every other one. Think about it. And even all the stones that go up in the building of all the many years of your life married together, it all must line up with the cornerstone. It must. So the cornerstone is a very important stone in a building. And when in the Old Testament day, when they were ready to build a building, much care was put into making that cornerstone, because it had to be true. It had to be straight. And so also, much care is put into this day. And I would encourage you to put much care into every part of this day. Squeeze every blessing out of it. Let every commitment go deep down into your soul. Let them be strong commitments. Like our brother said, let them be lifelong commitments. Let them be commitments that will not be budged, that cannot be moved by any circumstances that this world may throw against you. Let those commitments be strong, and let them go down deep into your hearts and into your lives, because that's the cornerstone of the whole foundation of the first year of your marriage. The love that you have for each other, it's going to be the cornerstone. Now, it'll get better and it'll get sweeter, but I never want you to get away from the way it is right now. I never want you to get away from that. Only let it grow. Only let it get sweeter. Only let it get greater. Only let it grow bigger, but never get away from the way it is right now. Because the way it is right now is called first love. And you never want to get away from that. Oh, there'll be many temptations to come to try to move you away from that first love. But you don't want to move away from that, because that is the cornerstone of your marriage. That sense of support that you feel this morning from all these people that are behind you, don't ever forget it. Don't ever forget it. All these people took time out of their lives, and we all have busy lives, to be here because they love you and they support you and they're behind you and they're with you. Never forget that. That's part of the cornerstone. Never forget the sweet grace that God has been pouring down into your hearts already this morning, and He will through the rest of this day. Don't forget it. That's part of the cornerstone. Those feelings, that willingness that you have in your hearts to honor each other, to love one another, to reverence one another, that carefulness that you have in your spirit, not to say something that might offend him, or not to say something that might offend her, don't ever forget it. All of that is settled down over your life today. You know it, and everyone else here, we know it. Those of us that have been where you're sitting, we know that's exactly how you're feeling today. That is the cornerstone of your marriage. All right. Let's move on to the next stage of construction. The next stage of construction of the foundation of your marriage takes place in the next couple of weeks. I'd just like to follow this analogy through. And I'd just like to encourage the two of you that in the building of a foundation, once the cornerstone has been set in its place, the next few stones that get laid on there are also very important. You see, once you get a few of the first stones laid in there on each side of that cornerstone, it becomes a little bit easier to lay the next ones because you have more distance that you can line your stones up with. But with the cornerstone, you have to be very careful and very earnest about putting those first few stones in there because they come right off of the cornerstone. And you'll lay those in the next couple of weeks of your marriage. That's why I really appreciate it that you're going to take a few days and just have nothing else to do but just be together and walk together and talk together and ride in the car together and spend hours together and just share your hearts together. I appreciate it that you're taking some days to do that, because it's not just a wedding trip, Brother Neil and Sister Christina. You're laying stones on a foundation in the next couple of weeks of your life. Here are a few stones that I'd like to encourage you that I believe fit into the next 2 weeks of your life. First of all, a stone of open communication. You're going to have lots of time together. I want to encourage you to carefully lay the stone of open communication. Lay it carefully. And you may think this morning, and I thought about you and I thought how you're probably feeling, and you may think, oh, you don't need to worry about this stone. No problem. Let me just encourage you. Communication will be difficult at some times in your marriage. So, in light of that, I would like you to carefully lay the stone of open communication in the next couple of weeks. Go out of your way to lay that stone. Much communication back and forth. Spend time together. Share your hearts together. Share the deep desires of your hearts together. Open up and release your dreams and your goals and your visions one for another. You share all of those. You just get to know each other very well. In the next couple of weeks, share the deep thoughts of your heart and do it with much carefulness. It's an important stone in the foundation of your marriage. Secondly, I'd like you to lay the stone of oneness. Our brother mentioned this already, but I'd like you just to consider that this stone is one that needs to be very carefully laid. And the best time to do it is in the first 2 weeks of your marriage. The stone of oneness. What do I mean by that? Our brother talked about being one flesh. And I so appreciated the illustration that was given and how it's two streams coming together into one. And he also said that it is a process. But it's something that you will notice. You will know it immediately. We are one. You will know it immediately. But you will experience it more and more to its fullest as your life unfolds together. But here's the way you lay the stone. You get to my point now. Oneness doesn't just happen. If you're going to move together in oneness, you're going to have to learn to move together in oneness. And I don't know of a better time for you to learn that oneness and to develop that oneness of heart, that oneness of spirit, that oneness of goal, that unity of direction. There's no better time for you to begin to develop that and to lay that stone of oneness than in the first 2 weeks of your marriage. Not a lot of distractions, not a lot of other things that need to be done, not phone calls to make, not a phone call ringing, not all those things. You're kind of free from those for the first couple of weeks. Lay the stone of oneness. And you'll know when it's not there. You'll know. Things aren't quite one here. Don't push that off. Realize when things aren't quite one that you're supposed to be carefully laying a stone of oneness on this cornerstone of your marriage. The third one. Love. The stone of deeper love. And here I'd just like to speak to you about two kinds of love, and we'll bring out the third one later. But love, the cornerstone of love, it gets laid. The stone of love gets laid on the cornerstone. Deeper love. There's two kinds of love we'd like to talk about. The first one is phileo, and the second one is eros. Those are Greek words. Phileo love is brotherly love. Marriage, can't live without it. Companionship. Phileo love is companionship. That's that togetherness. That's that camaraderie feeling that you have. That's that just liking to be together. That's that sit around in the evening and just share the little things that happen through the day and enjoy doing it. That is phileo love. Marriage cannot live without it. Brother, meet your best friend. Sister, meet your best friend. And I trust that it, I know that it is that way, and I trust that it will continue to be that. Praise God for marriage and all the things that flow out of it, but one of the sweetest parts of marriage is just friendship. Be the best friend. Be her best friend. Be his best friend. And take these 2 weeks to lay that stone on the cornerstone and line it up real good and clear and deepen the love that you already have. Deepen that love which you feel right now in your heart. Deepen it with phileo love, companionship, and also deepen it with eros love. And that Greek word is romantic love. Take the love that you have now and deepen it with a romantic love. Don't make the foolish mistake of quickly throwing this stone down. It's a stone to be laid very carefully. To be laid very carefully. You have been wisely holding these loves back. Don't lay the stone real fast, but be very careful as you lay the stone of your romantic love for each other. And the last stone, which are the first stones of the foundation, is the stone of honor and reverence. And I've chosen these four and to zero in on them as special stones which come right off of the cornerstone because there the principles of married life, which will be very easy for you to practice in the next 2 weeks, because you'll be free from a lot of other responsibilities. So the last stone is the stone of honor and reverence. These two stones can be very easily laid in the first 2 weeks of your marriage, because you'll have lots of time together. You can be very, very sensitive to honor her as the weaker vessel, and be careful to see how she feels about this and that. And you can also be very careful that you reverence your husband and give him the respect, the admiration, the words of encouragement, and the words of blessing that he needs. And he will need them all the days of your life. And she will need that honor all the days of your life. But the stone, you'll have the time to so carefully lay that stone right up there next to the cornerstone in the next 2 weeks. The stone of honor and reverence. The Bible says, honor the wife as the weaker vessel. The Bible says, we read here in Ephesians, the wife, see that she reverence her husband. Well, Christina, now you will have a Tirshatha. You remember the term? Now you'll have a Tirshatha, which means my reverence. Now you'll have one. You go for it with all your heart. You reverence him. You respect him. You honor him. You hold him up. You encourage him. Now you have your Tirshatha. And the stone gets so easily laid these first 2 weeks of your marriage. Brother Neil, nothing will encourage your wife to support and obey you like having an honoring spirit toward her. Nothing will do it. I just want to encourage you. That is a key that will unlock the door to so many blessings in your married life. Lay the stone well these first couple of weeks. The stone of honor. And Christina, nothing will motivate your husband to lead out and rise up to new heights like the stone of reverence. Lay it carefully and lay it well. Every good builder does. These first few stones, they're very careful how they lay them. Because you see, they have this big building in their mind. And they see it already. But it'll never happen if they don't lay those first couple of stones nice and clear and true, coming out from that chief cornerstone. And the last stage of construction is the first year of your marriage. Deuteronomy chapter 24 speaks about this principle of taking the first year of marriage and making sure that other things don't get in the way and bump out and push away the top priority of the first year of your life together. And the top priority of the first year of your life together is to lay the foundation, the rest of the foundation, for a married life that may last for 30 or 40 years. Oh, if you can grasp the wisdom of what we're saying this morning, and all the married couples in the room said amen. If you can grasp it, it'll be a great blessing. You can set the patterns of your whole married life in the next year of your life. And I know that they can be changed, but you will set the pattern. You will set the basic patterns of your whole married life in the next year of your life. That's the way it works. You're still laying a foundation. don't get in a hurry. This whole next year, don't get in a hurry. Don't get in a hurry about a business. Don't get in a hurry about a ministry. Don't get in a hurry about the household and all those things. Don't get in a hurry. You're still laying a foundation. The builder, he takes his time on the foundation. Don't get in a hurry. Don't load your life down with too much because you still have very important work to do in the next year. Many couples allow themselves to get distracted in the first year of their married life, and I'm sure that if I asked for a raise of hands, we would get some hands up on this point. They allow themselves to get distracted, or even maybe some of them never understood this principle at all. And they came to the marriage altar and they got married, they took a couple week wedding trip and they hit life running. Mistake. Mistake. Don't do it. Take the next year of your life and concentrate on laying this foundation. See? You don't know how to be married. You've never been married before. You don't know how to dwell together in unity. You've never done it before. You don't know each other. You may think you know each other, but you don't know each other. It's very important that you take the time to lay this foundation. Many couples establish wrong patterns carelessly and hurriedly. They lay the foundation of their marriage. So here's a few more stones. And these, I feel, they fit more into the next stage. The first one is the stone of the structure of authority. This is part of the foundation of marriage. You must lay this stone. It must be laid, and you will lay it in the next year of your life. And it must be laid right. And you must take the time that you lay it right. And you must be disciplined enough to make sure that this stone gets laid right. Brother Neil, on your part, you're to be the leader. It's very important that you take your place as the leader in the home and that this stone get laid properly and that you establish a proper authority structure in your home, that you are the head of the home, that decisions go through you, that wisdom comes from you. And I'm not saying that your wife doesn't have wisdom, but you are the leader of the home. You chart the course and the direction of your home. You will do it in the first year. Take your place, brother, as the leader in your home. You may even feel uneasy because it's all new to you. You may feel uneasy. You may look at certain situations and say, well, I believe Christy could do that better. Don't do it. Don't do it. You lay that authority structure right. Be the head of the home. Be the leader of the home. Be the one who directs the home. Be the preacher in the home. Be the spiritual head in the home. Be the one that's on fire for God the most in the home. Be the one who has his devotions the most in the home. You set all of that in the first year of your marriage. Take that challenge, brother. That pattern will follow you all the days of your marriage. And you can very easily lay this stone in the first year if you don't let everything else come in and crowd it out. You can easily lay this stone. And you may think, I'll only get half as much done as I want to get done in the next year. That may be so, but if you'll lay these stones right in the first year, you'll get twice as much done the rest of your life. Glory! You'll get twice as much done the rest of your life. Which will you take? Which will we take? Amen? If you'll take the time, the first year, you may not get as much done, but I guarantee you it'll work out better on the long run. And Christina, as far as the stone of the authority structure in the home, your part in that is to be submissive. And there may be times when you are tempted to lead out, and tempted to have a better idea, and try to push your idea, and make it happen. And you may be able to do that. Don't do it. Don't do it. Lay those temptations aside. Watch over that stone with carefulness in the first year of your marriage. You may look sometimes and think, he's not going to do this one right. I need to tell him it. Don't do it! Don't do it. Because you're laying a stone which will set a pattern for all the rest of your life. Don't do it. See, don't get so busy that you can't look at these things as life unfolds for you. Follow him. Even if he stumbles a few times, because he will. I can promise you that. He'll stumble a few times. You follow him anyway. Stay back. Don't move ahead. Stay back. It'll work out. In the long run. It'll work out. Life will give you many opportunities to practice and learn these things in the next year of your life, because you will step back into real life in about 2 weeks, and that there will be a telephone ringing, and there will be things that need to be done, and there will be responsibilities, and the pipes might freeze, and all those things. That's normal life, and you will step into that. But just don't get yourself so busy that you can't be laying these stones, which are very important. The second one, Brother Neil, Sister Christina, is the stone of discipleship. And I speak to you, Brother Neil, because I believe that it's your responsibility to make a disciple out of your wife. But I also say it to the hearing of Christina, because you're the one that's to become a disciple. A disciple of your husband. A discipler of your wife. Marriage and family life, I see it as a life of discipleship. First, the husband begins to disciple his wife. And now all of a sudden, if God blesses and gives children, the children begin to come into the home, and the husband all of a sudden becomes a father, which is another discipler. You disciple your wife, and then you start discipling this child that comes, and then you disciple this child that comes, and as you see the children getting older, your discipleship gets more intense. And it changes in different areas, but the pattern is established in the first year of your life. Many couples make the mistake in the first year of their life of thinking, oh, we'll make a big thing about, we'll get together and we'll pray and we'll read the Bible and we'll do all those things when we get children. Right now we got other things we need to do. And most of the time, they don't have a very good family devotional life because they set a wrong pattern in the first year of your life. It is a life of discipleship, Brother Neil. And there's your first disciple. And may God give you many more disciples. But there's your first one. Spend this first year discipling that wife. Discipling her? Yes. Loving her, encouraging her, feeding her with the Word, washing her with the Word, praying with her, hearing her burdens, helping her through her struggles. It is the life of discipleship. And here's your first disciple. All the patterns that you can learn in discipling your wife, then God will give you children, and then you begin to disciple the children. I tell you, it is a life of discipleship. And I want to encourage you to lay that stone. Lay it in the first year of your marriage. Don't let it fall away to busyness. All right, next one. The stone of agape love. Now we're going to look at a different love. Agape love, that's another Greek word for love, but it's talking about the sacrificial love. You'll lay this stone in the first year of your marriage. God will give you many opportunities in the first year of your marriage to lay this stone to the foundation of your marriage. It's agape love. It's the sacrificial love. It's the love that is willing to suffer. You want to lay this stone real good, brother and sister, in the first year of your marriage. It's the love that defers to the other. It's the love that bears the hurt for the sake of the relationship. It's the love that takes the hurt and throws it in the cornfield for the sake of our relationship. It's the love that refuses to be offended for the sake of our relationship. Make that decision in the first year of your marriage. I refuse to be offended. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. That agape love is a sacrificial love that refuses to be offended. I'm not going to be hurt by that. Make the choice. She's going to say something that hurts. I can promise you that. Make the choice now, brother. I'm not going to be offended by that stuff. So what? He's going to say things that hurt. I promise you that. It will happen. Make the choice today. Ah, I'm not going to be offended by those things. That little thing she said, that thing he said. So what? Throw it in the cornfield. That's agape love. That's that deep love, you know. That's the love that comes out of the commitments that you're going to make up here today. It's agape love. It's a sacrificial love. It's a love that says, I'm sorry when I'm wrong. And you will be wrong. But that's the love that comes back and says, I made a mistake. I'm embarrassed that I made a mistake. I said something that I shouldn't have said. I'd like to run and hide. I wish this thing would go away. But I love my partner enough that I'm going to go back to them and say, I was wrong. I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? That's agape love. It's the love that serves. It's the love that says, not what can I get out of this marriage, but what can I give to make this marriage what God wants it to be. It's agape love. As one woman, as one mother was describing the relationship of her husband, of her son-in-law and her daughter, she was speaking a little bit sadly in her heart about her daughter and son-in-law who'd been married a couple of years, and they were kind of having rocky road in their marriage. The mother described the son-in-law this way. He's a taker, not a giver. Don't be a taker. Either one of you, be a giver. There's a big difference between a giver and a taker. And if you enter into your marriage with a taker attitude, I can promise you, you will have rocky roads. Because that's not how you enter into marriage. You enter into marriage with agape love. And agape love says, what can I give to this marriage? How can I better make this marriage work? How can I bless my wife? How can I bless my husband? What can I do to encourage them? What can I do to strengthen our marriage? Be a giver, not a taker. What can I get out of this marriage? Don't you know what you're supposed to be for me? No, all those thoughts are wrong. That's not agape love. What can I give to this marriage? So lay the stone of agape love in this foundation of your first year. And the last one, and there are many that I could give, but the last one I'd like to give is the stone of Christ. Lay the stone of Christ in the first year of your marriage. And I know that He's right where He's supposed to be. I have that confidence this morning that Christ is Lord over both of your lives, and that you have yielded everything that you know to yield to the Lord Jesus Christ. I have that confidence. But I just want to encourage you to leave Christ right there in your hearts. Our brother well said that marriage has been instituted by God. And if God instituted it, that means He designed it. And if God designed it, then He knows how it'll work the best. And the way that it will work the best is if the designer is right in the middle of your marriage every day. And the only way that He can be in the middle of your marriage is if He's in the middle of your life. That means in the middle of your life when the pipes freeze. And in the middle of your life when you need to go to work at the welding shop. In the middle of your life when the disappointments do come. In the middle of your life when you did stay up late the night before and all the many things that normal life will cast out to you. Let Christ be in the middle of your life. I don't know of anything that I could tell you more than that right there to ensure that your marriage keeps on the right track than to tell you, let Christ be at the head of each one of your lives. Walk with God. Spend time with God. Read His Word personally. Build a relationship with Him. Learn to know Him better. The sweeter your relationship this way, the sweeter will be your relationship this way. I'm confident of that because you love God and you love God. There's no way that you're going to get any sweeter and have a happier marriage than the more you draw into God's presence. There's no more way. That's it. But that is something that takes a conscious effort. And that's something that requires some decisions from time to time. I appreciate the testimony of one couple, and I said it, and I'll say it again. One couple who was married just a couple of years ago. The young man, very wisely, in the first year of the marriage, he decided, we're not going to run a lot. You know, that's a temptation to a couple. You know, let's go here, let's go there, and maybe not so much with you, too, because you've been on your own some. But it's a temptation with a couple. Now we're married and we're free and we're the boss. Let's go here and let's go there. But this young man very wisely said, I think we're going to stay home a lot first year of our marriage. Just spend the evenings together. Fellowshipping, praying together, visiting. We'll go here, but we'll go together. No, we're not going to spend a lot of time visiting in this home and over here in that home and this one and that one. No, he didn't do that. They concentrated on their relationship with Christ and they concentrated on their relationship with one another for the first year of their marriage. And they have a happy marriage, I think, 3 years later. Do it. Let your lives be on the altar each day. Now, there are many more stones that we could mention here, but the purpose of the message is to get you to focus on the foundation. You focus on the foundation, much of the marriage will take care of itself. Don't just take off out of here and go have a little wedding trip and head for Tennessee and get busy in the shop and play in your garden. And all those other things, even though you will go to Tennessee, I know that, and you'll have to work in the shop, you will have a garden to plant and all of that, but don't focus on those things. Let them just be the side issues. You focus on your marriage for the next year of your life. That's the encouragement that I'd like to leave with you, with the two of you. I just have every confidence in God's Word and the God of the Word that if you will do this, He is no respecter of persons. He will bless you. He will pour out blessings upon you abundantly. May God grant it for your lives. Shall we all bow our heads for prayer at this time? Our Father in heaven, we come to you in Jesus' name at the end of this message. Father, we thank you for the wisdom that you've given to us today. We thank you, Father, for the encouragement that each one of us in this room has received. Yes, Lord, many of us here, we see we didn't do right. We didn't lay the right foundation. Many of us in this room today, Lord, we see that we're still suffering because of it, even today in our marriages. Oh, Father, we just thank you for the wisdom that you gave. And God, I pray first of all for every marriage that is in this room. I pray that you will strengthen them. I pray for every marriage in this room that you will help some to push a reset button this morning, having been here today, and be refreshed of their own commitments. And then, Father, I pray for Brother Neil and Sister Christina. Lord God, I pray that you will abundantly bless them in the next part of the service, God. We do commit them into your hands. We want this marriage to be made in heaven. And we ask you, dear God, that heaven would attend unto the next part of the service. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. We'll ask the bridal party to stand at this time. Brother Neil and Sister Christina, first of all, we want to say that marriage is a covenant. It's an agreement between two people before God and can only be broken by death, even as our brother has already shared. If you are willing before God and these witnesses to enter into this marriage covenant together in the fear of God, would you step forward and up here at this time? Brother Neil, before God and these witnesses, can you testify that you're free from all other marriage relationships?
Yes.
Praise God. And Sister Christina, can you also testify to the same, that you're free from all other marriage relationships?
Yes, I am.
Praise God. At this time, I'd like you to face each other and join hands and say your vows. And you first, Brother Neil.
I kneel before God and these witnesses, take you, Christina, to be my beloved wife. I will love and cherish you above all others, even as Christ loved the church, gave himself for her. I will nourish and care for you. I will endeavor to be your faithful and spiritual leader and to provide for you.
Set a godly example.
And set a godly example for you and our children. I will nourish and care for you in sickness or in health, in poverty or wealth, in adversity or prosperity, cherishing you as my own body. I promise by the grace of God to provide for you physically and to maintain open communication with you. I give myself to be your faithful and loving husband until we are parted by death. I love you, Christy.
Amen. And Christina?
I, Christina, before God and these witnesses, take you, Neil, as my beloved husband. I will love and cherish you above all others and will keep myself for you only. I promise to be submissive to you in all things and reverence you as my head in your place of God-given authority. I will support you in your decisions and endeavoring never to hinder you in God's work. I will lovingly care for you in sickness or in health, and remain by your side in poverty or wealth, in adversity or prosperity. I promise to help train our children in the fear of the Lord. I give myself to be your faithful and loving wife until we are parted by death.
I will the congregation rise at this time for prayer? And shall we kneel for prayer? Our Heavenly Father, God, we thank you that you're the initiator of marriage. Father, we thank you that you initiated this relationship between this couple. Father, we thank you that you led them so clearly by your Spirit together. And God, we acknowledge that here this morning. Father, we ask you in Jesus' precious name that you will pour your blessings upon this couple. Unite them together, dear God. Lord, we pray that you, by your Spirit, would take the glue that glues this couple together. Father, yes, Lord, we tie a knot here this morning that cannot be broken. It cannot be untied. And Father, we just ask you, Lord, that you will pour your blessings upon this couple, that you, Lord, will pour wisdom into their lives, that you, dear God, would work in their lives. Father, that you would help them and give them the grace, dear God, to practice that which they heard in the message this morning. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you'll bless this couple with children. Father God, I pray that you'll raise up godly children here, Lord. I pray, dear Father, that you'll make this couple a blessing, that you'll make them a sweet testimony of Jesus Christ and the church. God, I pray, oh Father, that you will anoint them, Lord, for their marriage, that they may walk hand in hand together all the days of their life. Father, God, we pray, that, Lord, that you'll break the curse. Dear God, break the curse of divorce and separation. Dear Father, that is in their past, Lord, you break it. And Father, you replace it with the blessing of love and holy matrimony all the days of their life. Father God, we commit this couple into your hands in the name and through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. You can stand to your feet and turn this way to me. Amen. You can hold hands now if you want. And now, having pledged your love for and loyalty to each other before God and these witnesses, by the authority vested in me as a minister of the gospel, and in conformity to the laws of this state, I now pronounce you husband and wife. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. God bless you both. If you'll turn around and face the congregation. And to the congregation, I present to you Mr. and Mrs. Neil Whitmer.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.